It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is better than this? It's guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast. I'm Kyle Krabs of the Draft Network at Grinding the Tape. Mr. Joe Marino went ahead and got himself hitched over the weekend. So there will be no Joe Marino on this week of the Draft Dudes. As much as that hurts me to say, I do think it's probably fair to let the man go on his honeymoon and not have me calling him at 8 a.m. every morning, waking him up to talk about football. I'm sure his lovely missus is greatly appreciative of my self-restraint, although I can't promise that I won't at least try and call him once. Guess we'll see. We are here today to talk about the AFC South. This was an interesting division. Teams Houston and Indianapolis are in the crosshairs today, and this is kind of a tale of two draft classes. As I look through, let's start with the good, right? Because I don't want to drop the Texans listeners immediately within the first 5 seconds of starting the analysis on the podcast. So I look at the Colts. Colts picked up an extra second round pick in order to trade out of the 26th selection. They dropped to 34, and they get Rockiasin, corner from Temple, Banbanigu, and Paris Campbell, the other two second-round picks, Bobby Okereke, Kari Willis, Marvell Tell, E.J. Speed, Jerry Green, Jackson Barton, Javon Patterson, the full slate of selections for the Indianapolis Colts. And I like what the Colts were able to do. I think they very clearly had some objectives for their team and their roster and the way they wanted to attack, looking to stay competitive in the conference, because it's going to get dicey, right? There's Chiefs aren't going away. The Patriots aren't going away. Browns are making a push. Steelers still have to be dethroned in general and prove that they can stay down. They're one of those teams that they'll have a down year every once and again, but they don't typically stay down. And then you got the Chargers. And so interesting dynamics in the AFC. And it's really, I like the thought process of adding physical defenders. You look at the linebackers that they took. They wanted guys that with tackle radius and athleticism. And they want to be able to teach you the rest of that stuff. But like Bobby Okereke at 89, is a pick that makes a lot of sense when you consider exactly why the Colts had success with Darius Leonard last year. They got a guy who was mentally a little bit raw. They took a shot on the traits, and everything clicked perfectly for Leonard. So Okereke is another player in that same kind of mold with the length that he has and how he can play physical. And now he is a pretty good athlete. So I like that addition, but really this draft is going to come down to these first three picks: Rockiasin, Banbanigu, and Paris Campbell. The Paris Campbell one, I think, meshes well when you put it in the Colts offense, right? So the Colts have Eric Ebron at tight end. They've got T.Y. Hilton as the obvious number one receiver on the team. Paris Campbell made a living at Ohio State by being the guy who ran the crossers and broke angles and coverage and pursuit with the speed that he was really able to carry horizontally across the field. That's not to say he can't get vertical on you, because the dude runs like 4.3 flat. Like, yeah, he's got some juice to burn. Where this, I think, is really likable is when you project it into bunch sets, or when you put Hilton and Campbell on the same side of the line of scrimmage, or on the same side of the football. So twin sets with these two guys stacked against each other, you're going to have to give a lot of cushion. You're going to have to concede a lot of space immediately because of the burst, the explosiveness, and the speed that Paris Campbell is really going to be able to afford your offense. And that is in turn going to manufacture a lot of extra space, a lot of room for free releases off the line of scrimmage, and a lot of room to work after the catch, which was another area that Paris Campbell was really, really good at Ohio State. So I think pairing him with a guy like T.Y. makes a ton of sense. But my favorite pick is Ben Banigou. No question, my favorite, personal favorite pick, Ben Banigou, of this Colts draft class. Banigou didn't really get a chance to kind of cultivate his pass rush at the college level. He was a team defense kind of player. You know, you stay in your gaps, you know your role, you stay true to those responsibilities. And everything else is kind of secondary. And Banigou, coming out of TCU, no, he's not super developed in these areas, but you get to put him with Justin Houston. I like that a lot. You look at his athletic profile, how explosive he is for his size and how sudden he is. You have to like that a lot. So the Colts suddenly now have Justin Houston, Kamoko Touré, a guy in Ben Banigou that I'm actually quite high on. He was my 62nd rated player, came off the board at 49. So it was appropriate value for the selection, right? And I think they've really set themselves up not just to win now, but to really maximize. And they're already a team that's beyond the rookie quarterback contract issue. They have to build out the rest of the team now. And doing so with a 3 to 5 year window in mind makes all these picks of Okereke and Campbell, Banigou, Yassin all that much more exciting. Yassin was the one for me that I looked at and I was surprised because I do think Rock, for as good as he can be and for how physical he is and how I love his tackling habits and his effort level and how stout he is on the boundary, I did feel like he was a player that was a few years away from really playing to his potential. And you're going to get some growing pains with that. Now, if you don't ask Rock to be the featured corner, does that help? Absolutely. That will help mitigate the issues. They signed Pierre Desir to a contract, re-upped him, and he's a guy who really turned the corner. So I think when you put the Yassin pick in context, it makes it a little bit better than, for me, I wouldn't have gone with Yassin with some of the other corners that were available. DeAndre Baker went 30. Byron Murphy went 33, and Rock went 34. Everybody else was still on the board. I thought, felt as though you probably could have targeted some other options, and I would have liked the player better, but it is a sensible scheme fit, and it is something that if you project his ceiling, I can understand buying in on the ceiling. But that now that comes down to coaching staff and player development.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and it's only fitting that this important interruption is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Have you thought about what you're getting your loved one this year? Or maybe you want to give the gift of sweet-smelling Grundle Bliss to your partner. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Whether you're the only one who gets to see what's going on down there or you're one of many, do you, your partner, and everyone else a favor and introduce yourself to this revolutionary company. Manscaped just launched their brand new Perfect Package. Inside the Manscaped Perfect Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which features skin-safe technology and will prevent you or your man from cutting his nuts. Speaking of smelling nice, let's be real. No one wants to carry around that locker room smell with them. That's why I am thankful for the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. These products keep your crotchal region from sweating, smelling, and sticking. The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep that junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to this new. Give the gift that will make your Valentine's Day spicy. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off and free shipping. Ladies, this is the perfect gift for you and your man. And men, your partner will thank you. Trust me, he will thank you. And guess who else will thank you? Your balls will thank you. 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com.
Think that's going to do it here for the Colts. Quick shout out to Kari Willis. I think he was one of my favorite picks on day three. Kari can do a lot. Just don't ask him to play deep middle. And the Colts have some guy named Hooker back there playing deep middle. So, again, sensible fit with scheme, strengths and weaknesses, the desire of the team to add good tackling defensive backs between Yasin and Kari Willis, heck, even Marvell Tell, who we don't know if he's going to play corner or safety. The Colts really did a nice job targeting areas of need and drafting players that fit their profile. The Houston Texans. Try to give you guys 10 minutes to get out of here so you didn't have to listen to this. Also had very clear marching orders as far as what it was that they wanted to achieve in this draft class. And I thought their mentality was great, right? Offensive line, no matter what, no questions asked. You had to take offensive linemen to protect Deshaun Watson, who was hit 62 or sacked 62 times last year. 62 times. Unforgivable number. And then I look through this Houston Texans draft. They took Titus Howard, Lonnie Johnson, and Max Sharping with their first three picks. One of the things that I've done this year, which is new for me, and I'm really excited about it, is when the draft is over, I'm scoring the picks from my personal board for the trade from the using the points from the trade value chart. In the build up to Joe's wedding, I had a chance to spend a couple days with Brett Whitefield of Pro Football Focus, who is a super good dude and so much fun to talk football with. And that was a suggestion of his. He said, "Have you ever considered, you know, putting this filter on your board and seeing what the pick values look like for, you know, the opportunity to draft a player versus the return based on your own individual scoring?" Titus Howard and Lonnie Johnson are the two worst valued picks in the entire draft using this model against my own personal big board. 23rd and 54th selections. And I didn't have either one of them in my top 200 players. They are gifted players. Make no mistake. There's potential with these players. But there is so much that is going to have to go right with these players. And I can't guarantee that. Titus Howard out of Alabama State. Houston flinched. They panicked. They had Andre Dillard on the board. Eagles traded up one spot in front of them to 22. And they snatched Andre Dillard, who was the Texans' top offensive tackle. Texans panicked. Cody Ford was still on the board. Juwan Taylor was still on the board. Dalton Reisner still on the board. You need offensive line. And you draft Titus Howard? That's a tough pill to swallow. Because you look at the Texans and you look at who they have on that roster, and you're getting a lot of the exact same thing. You're getting raw upside guy, Julian Davenport, Titus Howard. It's cut from the same cloth. So that's concerning to me because the Texans have not been able to develop the offensive linemen that they've had, and they've taken a chance on some small to cool guys earlier. And I know you don't scout the helmet, but I scout the traits. And there's a lot of the same questions as far as functional application of football skills and techniques and fundamentals. And Tytus Howard, I think, for as promising as he is, has a lot to go in that area. So that concerns me a lot. Lonnie Johnson, the Texans are experiencing a lot of shift and overhaul in their defensive backs, including going forward to 2020 with expiring contracts that they have on the roster for 2019. So I understand picking a corner. It makes sense. It's sensible. And Lonnie was always going to be a super polarizing guy, right? Like, he either checked the boxes that you like and look for, or he didn't. And if he didn't, you're going to be super low on him. And for me, I look at long, either press man or cover three type corners. And there were a lot of the guys that I was more comfortable with in this class because they were able to stay tethered to bodies a little cleaner. I thought Lonnie's spatial awareness was something that he got a little too far off the body. He conceded a little bit too much space at times. And because of his size and length, clicking close isn't necessarily something that he's really going to hang his hat on. So Lonnie's more logical of a pick, even though I didn't like it for the value that it was. And I didn't like it because there were other corners available. But I at least get the pick. And if I'm wrong on that one, I'm willing to be wrong on that. I'm willing to be wrong on some of these guys if the risk assessment screams to me that you're going to have some problems along the way. And if Houston either catches lightning in a bottle or they're able to really coach him up and he plays two or above his draft spot, you tip your hat and you learn from it and you move on. I like their next three picks, though. Sharping, Kyle Waring, and Charles Omenihu. Sharping was a surprise at 55, but I'm fine with it. I think he could play inside or outside. Obviously, his banner game is against Brian Burns in Florida State. He had a good showing in that football game. I think Sharping's more ready to play than what Tytus Howard is. And he's solid. He's sticky. He's not spectacular. He's kind of the antithesis of Tytus Howard, where his ceiling's not super high. He doesn't meet all the thresholds that you want from an offensive tackle. But I feel like he can come in and as a technician, he can play right away. Kyle Waring from San Diego State was interesting, right? Because the Texans have kind of struggled at tight end over recent years, right? They haven't really been able – when was it? Was it Owen Daniels was the last one that you really had in Houston that you felt great about? So Houston last year took Jordan Thomas in the sixth and Jordan Akins in the third. And now they've taken another third-round pick with Kyle Waring and added him to the mix. I will say this. I think Waring is the best of the bunch. Akins and Thomas. Waring's got them both. Waring's not quite as explosive as Akins was, but kind of similar profile as a guy that was a little bit of a project. They got very different backgrounds, but they're both multi-sport athletes. Kyle Waring only started playing football his senior of high school, so he's got a lot of untapped potential with his athletic ability and his blocking skills. And then Charles Omenihu, you know, Houston not having a fourth-round pick. They had three in the top 55, four in the top 100, and then they don't pick again until 161. And I think they get their best player in the draft class at 161 at Charles Omenihu. Love his projection into the Texans' defensive line. Obviously, losing Christian Covington hurts, and I think Omenihu is perfectly capable of playing that type of role. And if you want to put Watt and Omenihu in the B gaps or as four-eye alignments on passing situations, I think them as inside rushers with guys outside of them in Jadeveon Clowney and Whitney Mercilus, it makes a ton of sense.
This is NFL Under Review, local experts on the biggest NFL stories.
The NFL Honors Awards Show was last week, and one surprise when it came to Defensive Player of the Year. This is Bear Motter with your Los Angeles Rams update from Locked On Rams. Aaron Donald would have been the first player in NFL history to win the award three straight years in a row, but it wasn't the case at the NFL Honors. That award this year went to Stephon Gilmore, and don't get me wrong, Stephon Gilmore had a great season. 6 interceptions, 18 pass deflected, 2 touchdowns. He had 53 total tackles. Stephon Gilmore won the award with 21 votes. Chandler Jones came in second with 14. TJ Watt with 10. Although Donald says this doesn't bother him, I see him putting this chip on his shoulder, working even harder, and coming back stronger in 2020, which is a scary thing for the rest of the NFL.
For more NFL news, subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast only on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rest of their picks, Xavier Crawford and Colin Gillespie. That's kind of the meat and potatoes of the Houston Texans draft class, and I really do feel like their best pick was Charles Omenihu. But if I'm Deshaun Watson, or if I'm a Deshaun Watson fan or a Houston Texans fan, I'm very concerned with the direction that we chose to go along the offensive line, with the lack of self-scouting that, like, hey, maybe we want to get a guy that's, like, pro-ready early on and stop swinging for the fences with the ceiling and start, you know, factoring in the floor a little bit. Titus Howard will have a chance, of course, to prove me and all the other pundits and fans and folks in general who are skeptical of his selection as a top 25 pick out of Alabama State. And I hope he does. You know, I caught a little flack over the weekend for poking fun of the Giants for posting a video of Daniel Jones dropping quote-unquote dimes, which was fullback swing passes and screens and a couple throws down the field. But the majority of the throws were in the backfield. And I poked fun at the video saying you made a highlight video of fullback swing passes. And Giants fans are very upset with me and saying, you know, can't believe you're rooting for Daniel Jones to fail. No one's rooting for anyone to fail. I'm poking fun at the process, and I'm poking fun at the Giants because they know they've got to sell this pick hard now. They know people are skeptical about the pick. So I'm not rooting for anybody to fail, and I would love nothing more than guys like Titus Howard and Lonnie Johnson to outperform my expectations. And I will be more than happy to admit that I was wrong, and I will look at those individual cases under a microscope and see why I was wrong and hopefully learn from them. Hopefully you guys learned something today. Why don't you come back tomorrow, hit subscribe on the Draft Dudes podcast. No takes on takes this week because we are absent of Joe. Wait, no, let's not do that. Let's do takes on takes tomorrow. You guys got hot takes. I'm recording tomorrow, probably around noon. Hashtag takes on takes or hashtag tattle takes. Get your hot takes in. I will tackle your hot takes solo version on Draft Dudes tomorrow. Come back and see us then. Kyle Krabs signing off.